Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're not doing Loki again. First off, we're doing Marvel's review. So I want to give a shout out to BX Sports Jedi Network for giving me that wonderful intro. And good afternoon, senor.
Good afternoon to you. Salute to everyone watching us. Let's go. I'm ready, man. You know me. I'm a comic book little nerd here along with the baseball and the sports. Let's get into it.
Of course. Now, I want to give a shout out to everyone that's watching. You're watching Coquito Underground. I'm not putting my graphic. I don't give a crap about that. What I want to give a crap about is that we're going to talk about in the next couple weeks, or this week to next week, and maybe to next year, depending, a couple Marvel Studio projects, even DC. We're going to talk about Aquaman. We're going to talk about What If episodes 1, 3, 4, 6, and then 7 to 9, and maybe some spoilers here and there, our thoughts and reviews. This will be an honest, unbiased, uncensored review of the Marvels, beginning to end. If you do not like it, please tell me why. If you want to defend it, like a mark in a wrestling show, explain why you do. That's all I gotta say about that. But before we get to the nitty gritty, what were your thoughts before you even saw the Marvels? What was your headset? I mean, your headspace.
Yeah, I wanted to see, you know, how they're gonna bring these three ladies together. We understand watching the TV series Miss Marvel, how she looks up to Karen Devers, how she likes, you know, Captain Marvel. We're also seeing the dynamic with Monica Rambeau, also how she's tied into Captain Marvel as well, you know, by different ways, either calling her auntie, you know, we could always tweak a debate about auntie or not, but that's for another moment. And how they're all going to tie in and interact. What's the one common denominator that's going to bring these three marvelous ladies together, no pun intended?
And it's a weird start where the first act, ladies and gentlemen, starts with Monica Rambeau in space. Nick Fury is in charge of Saber, not Sword. Sorry about that. Osborn doesn't get the rub on that part. Shout out to Osborn. And before we even get to that, we kind of continue off Marvel, the Miss Marvel, the first movie. Carol Danvers goes back to the Kree homeworld and destroys the Supreme Intelligence. That has already been known. That's canon throughout all history. We cut to Monica Rambeau in space. And this is after, ladies and gentlemen, the Secret Wars. This is literally right after. So America doesn't like Skrulls. They had to leave. Nick Fury said F you to the president, because again, the president did a dumbass move, and now he's in space with Monica Rambeau and the people of Saber, mostly aliens as guardians, a couple of stuff like that. And at the same time, Miss Marvel is in her house with her parents, just doing the same thing. And at the same time as Carol Danvers is fighting something else, and as Monica Rambeau is checking the field of the jump gates, and as Miss Marvel is checking out her wrist. As all these things are happening, I have to go back a little bit and say that a pivotal character that we'll say her name later on is looking for something on an asteroid. She has a crew with her, which we'll talk about the crew in a second. Mm-hmm. And she finds one of the Negabands, one of the mythical cosmic items in the universe, on par of the Nullifier, on par with any other thing that can pop out. We're not going to say Galactus' name until he comes out. At the same time when she put it on her arm, all three characters, Miss Marvel, Monica Rambeau, and Captain Marvel, activated their powers. And thus, the switcheroo happens. Now, what we're going to show you behind is what happens when certain people find out about it. Basically, it's a fight between Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, Monica Rambeau, and everything else that you can see in the background. This is not our movie. This is not our stuff. What were your thoughts on this interaction at the first act, Mr. Kevin?
All right. When you were talking about the bungle, the cosmic bungle that the
mega bands,
the mega bands that gets activated. Yeah. And of course, that's one key of a tie-in, because this is something the Marvel movies have been doing, starting back with going into time and space. And every different movies of the Marvel Universe and series are showing us the multiverse, time and space travel. And as you see that fight scene when they're interacting, jumping from their point of time, not going back in history, but changing space time, or changing space at the moment that each ladies are supposed to be at. We saw that now. That's where Marvel showing us the multiverse or time and space travel. We saw it with Doctor Strange, with American Chavez. We saw that with of course, Spider-Man, with all the different Spider-Mans from all the different multiverse. We've seen that's it true. Now. And that's what the at least the first act of the movie is refreshing or reminding us there is a multiverse and we're going to cross and move from one place. This one didn't go to different multiverse, but they changed space and time at moments. And I love the part when Kamala was in outer space and she was like, oh, she noticed what's going on and she knew, she knows, she recognized Fury. And she's talking to Fury and telling her who she is. And Fury's like, I don't even know who you are. I don't know you, man. Looking like a guy when the lights come on in the club. You know what I mean?
No, of course. And I want to give out another point. The reason that the main villain, which is just honestly and I hate to say this, a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season villain, honestly, because it wasn't that great. You're we'll get to that in a second. She's using the Negabands, one of them, to open up a jump point to her homeworld of Hala. The reason is because since Carol Danvers destroyed the Supreme Intelligence, they have been going to a civil war. They've run out of water, air, everything. So she, in a kind of like a rebel sense, is trying to bring water and bring air and bring things back to Hala to save her world. It's not in the sense of like Thanos, like where he wants to destroy half the universe. It's not in the sense of Ronan, the destroyer of gang dominance. By the way, she is the new Ronin, just not called a Ronin, but just Ronin by, oh, I'm picking this up and it's mine now. Doesn't say like that. No one appointed her. She just took it out herself. We see from the first jump gate, she gets water, right? Not water, air. And from that, it leaves a hole, as you said, in space-time forever. Mm-hmm. And that is something that's not supposed to happen. At the same time, ladies and gentlemen, Loki, the series is happening. So this all connects in a weird way. Mm-hmm. I did also like that when Kamala jumped on the ship, Fury, with limited mobility, knocked out three guys, like sitting down, like, I'm done. That's true. I got paid for this. So that's good. Whatever.
But
all three get together. Yes, go on.
Mm-hmm. No, but remember when the we're going to call her the Accuser. I forgot her name.
Yes.
She's also their planet is dying. Their son, similar to a Kryptonian type of storyline, kind of I got it with Superman. She's also trying to save her son. So she's being put in a situation where as a dying mother to save her child, metaphorically or literally. They didn't explain because they never showed the child figure, but they kind of emphasize that with her backstory. So in that point, we can understand why she was desperate and going to those means of looking for the resources, not just to save her planet, but supposedly save her child, which it could be her planet there.
Which is messed up because they never showed her child. And then, by the way, the person's name is Dar-Ben. So Dar-Ben is the main villain, the you know, the antagonist. And yeah, they only showed her and her crew, which is kind of like a Fast and the Furious crew. Like three or four people, they're there for a reason. That's it. Okay, sure. We get them all together. Monica Rambeau, Captain Kamala, and everything else. They get on a ship. They find out that they have to talk to, they kind of figure out where everyone that Captain Marvel was connected to is getting attacked. First stop. After, because you're right. First jump point they open up next to a sun. No, that's the last part. First jump point they open up next to, I think it was air. And when we get there, we get to the one of the remaining Skrull habitats that they're hiding, obviously, because they left the Earth because of the president. So they're just trying to live, really, just not doing anything bad. They're not doing anything evil. They just want to live their life happy. Dar-Ben comes in before Carol Danvers and tells them, hey, we want to make a truce. I know that the Skrulls and the Kree have been fighting since the beginning of time. Thank the Celestials for that. We'll get to another part about that another time in life. But we want to make a truce. The Skrulls are like, I don't know. You guys are Kree and you guys are always trying to attack us. But okay, sure. And when Carol Danvers comes in, you figure out that it's all a trap. We were just going to take you as slaves and then take your resources. Many Skrulls died and they tried to stop her. They tried to stop her, and I respect that they tried to stop her and everything else. And as you can see here, there's a nice little picture of Dar-Ben and the crew behind him. As you can see here in the background, Dar-Ben, his little crew, little lackeys. They did a valiant fight, but you can see the difference in war between Monica, Kamala, and Carol. Carol's been through this shit. She was in Infinity War. She was in the worst of the worst. Monica Rambeau psychologically has been prepared because she was in the Wanda show and everything else. She saw the horrible things that people can do. Kamala is just a girl from New York that might have fought with a couple semi-homophobic, like xenophobic people. She's never been in the shit like this. She's never been in a war. And seeing a good portion of the Skrulls die, and Carol Danvers tells her, we gotta go. No, we gotta save. Like, no, we gotta go. War is about just accepting the losses and moving the hell on. And that face, what were your thoughts on that? Because that part of the movie impacted me. And I love the acting of all three.
I know. I'm glad you mentioned that. Even before we get the interaction finally, because right now Monica is not speaking with Carol for many years. Yes. They're on talking terms. And then when Carol finds out that Monica, you got powers? And that kind of like got her cosmic powers. And I love the fact that they talked about, and like you mentioned, WandaVision, that she got hexed. She went through a witch's hex and became. That's another pivot point where Marvel started introducing the crossover of the multiverse. Because, of course, what was the repercussion of WandaVision? She wanted to keep her kids alive after it was in reality. And she went to time and space to look for, in an alternate universe, her kids. So that's how she gained her powers. If you look at it, if you want to scrutinize it and look at it there, it's tying in to right now on all the storylines. And I know maybe you guys that are listening say, damn, that's kind of too much deep thinking. But you know what? It's a little reality, because if you got to appreciate that in a storytelling of a movie, if you have to, and it makes it important to watch not just the TV shows or the Disney Plus shows, but the movies, because they all kind of interact and connect. So I appreciated that with that aspect of the movie. And as well as for Kamala, she kind of fought. They said mutants, because I just watched Ms. Marvel before we came on, or kind of like Inhuman. So there is a little bit crossover. Were they Inhumans or were they mutants? Remember, they were in another world being that if they wanted to consume onto Earth, was going to destroy the Earth. So she kind of fought that off back in the partition part of India and Pakistan. So she didn't see kind of war like the way we're seeing the Skrull guys, but she saw some indifferences. And of course, she played a part in saving her grandmother. At that partition point. So she's thinking all in her head is, I got to save people because I saved my grandmother. And that's why she gets conflicted when she sees the Skrull world coming and death, because she saved her grandmother. She thought she was going to play that hand there. And Carol, who was military trained, and like you said, Infinity Wars and so, she knows losing Tony Stark and all the casualty of wars, she can make that tough decision. So that's where we get to that pivotal point of the movie that you were mentioning.
That's true. And again, we have to also remember Carol Danvers has been going on for 30 years plus, from the 80s all the way to now. She's been just roaming the universe, which, by the way, with the Flurkin cat just hanging out with them the whole time. That's a little nice little like companionship. They also I forgot to say Monica Rambeau figures that they have a quantum entanglement, that every connect power is connected to another. And that's where we see, which I didn't like, the whole little montage with the ball. Practice with the ball, do this, do that. I'm like, okay, fine. This is like Spider-Man took forever to learn his suits. Iron Man took years to get the prep, but they just learned how to do quantum entanglements. Loki took thousands of years to learn how to time stop. Sure, let's go with that. Fine, whatever. They also find out that Darben's time jumps are affecting the universe in the long run. Here's the part that the planet they were at was called Tarnax. I'll put that out. Yeah. The one of the refugee worlds of the Skrulls. Now, after they figure out, they deduce that Darben is targeting planets that are meaningful to Danvers, who Darben blames for the desolation of Hala. Darben blames Carol Danvers. They also find out that there's a place that they might go next, and it's called Aladna, A-L-A-D-N-A. And it's a very weird world. Carol Danvers does not want to go over there. He's like, I really don't want to go over there, but all right, fine, sure, we go over there. And the whole world is full of song. And I don't say that like as in a happy thing. No, they all sing in song. And the part that I didn't like was that you see Kamala and Darren's in the background, kind of like, I'm like, dude, you're running away from a freaking, no time for dancing shit. That's like, that's Hulk and Thor shit. That's not you. Don't do that. We also find out the main character is bilingual, so therefore he can dance and talk. They're, apparently, Carol Danvers is married to the prince. Yes. That was that, and then that guy is a Korean pop star, by the way. That's the only reason they picked him, ladies and gentlemen, because he's a Korean pop star. He's not, wow, whatever. I'm not getting into that. They get there. As you see in the background, the crew, Darben, and all the ones were telling that we want to have peace, but Karen Dan was here. A big fight starts, a big fight happens. And then Monica Rambeau fights Darben for a little bit, gets the upper hand, but then loses. Kamala tries as well, back and forth. Carol is so enveloped in the war, so enveloped in the fight, she's not really noticing the people around her and just not being a team player. Sometimes she is, but then sometimes she's not. And what sucks, they win. Darben wins, opens up a jump point. A good chunk of the water from Aladna is taken out and sent to Hala. Now, before we continue, they lost, ladies and gentlemen. What's your thoughts on this particular moment? Because I have some thoughts on this, but go, please.
I understand they want to show us the character. Yes. And again, I sat down and I didn't like it at first. And the more time passes, I go, you know what? This movie also got to get kids involved. And kids, they have to like the kids. But I don't know, because right now I got a little too much goofiness, because with Kamala's parents, Kamala, come here, yeah. Kamala. Like, oh, come on, give the girl a break. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. All on top of smothering the poor girl, man. No wonder why she got powers and wants to run away to space. I mean... Give it. I just thought it was too much, and it was a little goofiness with the dancing. And I'm like, okay, it was like Marvel meets the Song of Dance. You could have done that on a Disney Plus if you wanted to do a movie, a dance sequel type of thing, not in the movie theaters.
Thank you. Oh my God. Okay, here we go. This was by far the most stupidest, goofiest thing I've ever seen in my life. The dance thing, yes, it was meant for kids. Didn't you guys learn from She-Hulk that this stupid shit doesn't work? It doesn't work. And putting it in there in a planet based on song is fine. The part that pissed me off is that Carol Danvers destroyed that planet and no one else talked about it afterwards. In a sentence. And they just like, oh, whatever. I'm like, your prince and his planet's dead. Just like the refugees, where you're going is destruction. And then she realizes wherever I go is destruction. That's true. Before I continue, there's a B plot. The Flurrigan Cat is in the Saber Station. The Flurrigan Cat is, for some odd reason, spitting out eggs everywhere. And everyone's freaking out. The Asgardian people are like, what the hell's going on here? Nick Fury's like, what the hell's going on here? When it comes to a point where Darben, after she got the second Negaband, they all tried to get together, but they weren't coordinated enough, and they got the second Negaband, and she was on her way to Earth. All those eggs, this is the B story, all those eggs hatched, and it was just a whole bunch of baby kitten Flurrigans. As when Darben's coming and is going to absorb the sun, mind you, there's no Avengers to stop her, there's no, other than Saber, there's no one else to stop her, there's no one else! Mind you, this Asgardians, somewhere in Norway. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we say that because during that second act, a cameo happened, and it was Valkyrie. And why do I bring up Valkyrie? Because I think this connects to the Secret Wars. We know that when this happens, Valkyrie took all the refugees of the Skulls and said, hey, we're going to Asgard. We're going to New Asgard. You have a home here. Boom. What are your thoughts on that, and what are the repercussions from this xenophobic president in Marvel? Because you know he doesn't want any Skrulls on Earth. And now they are in political, you know, family with Asgardians, but you think give me your thoughts. Because I think if they do this right, this was a solid first step to Osborn, the Dark Avengers. Because it's all lining up for some weird reason, except, you know, Thor can't be there right now.
You know what? I didn't think about that. That's a good point of view. That's why I love doing these programs and spoke about it from a different perspective. Yeah. I didn't think about that there. That just right now, I'm like giving a minute to try to crop a hand on that. I just thought, you know, it was a way of reminding us that they were a god. There's more than multi human race and beings on mm-hmm. Earth, with the Asgardians, of course, and then reminding us that they took in the remaining scrolls to the new Asgard. When I saw Valkyria, I thought about, you know, they're reminding us about Thor and it's going to connect with Loki. I didn't think about that point of view, and good one on that. You just totally expanded my thoughts there. No, good job there. Good job.
Of course. It was a nice little Easter egg because I noticed that because, mm-hmm. again, I grew up all in the comics. I grew up with Dark Reign and everything else. Now, Osborn has nothing to do with mutants. So that's something that you can say, okay, we have nothing to do with mutants, but you can bring in... you can bring in Bullseye, Venom, yes. Wolverine's son, Dawkin. And this could also connect to the Wolverine movie that's happening mm-hmm. soon with Deadpool. Like, after all that happens, maybe something happens where he has a son by accident, and that son, Dawkin, could be one of the Avengers. Because I think it makes sense. New Asgard is basically all gods, and they can do whatever the hell they want, but they're respectful. They're like, we just want to have a place to live and stuff. But you're bringing in people that America themselves don't want to... you know, like, or whatever. So this is going to tie in for later. Like, we had the Sokovia Accords, and that was a cluster. So yeah. Now we're going to have Accords, I think, is going to be like, okay, you have Skrulls getting out of here. Asgardians, like, no, we're not. Okay, we're going to go to war to you. Okay, sure. Here come Osborn. I know what to do. You know, and then that starts Dark Reign.
Ooh, you know what also, you know what also brings up right now?
What?
Doom has his own Latvia. Own a world, because he doesn't want no part to do with none of the bureaucrat nonsense. There's so many different storylines. If you open up, like, again, back to Loki, with all yep. the spaghettis that we've reviewed and all the possibilities, those are many different possibilities. What also was available by a president in the Marvel comics is the Mutant Act, which yep. when they haven't introduced that, but that's another spaghetti of multiverse there that gets developing there. And these are like seeds. It could be, it might not be subtle, but they're giving the seeds for later down in maybe in another phase or yes. to what to come, which good point there. That's a good one.
Of course. Now we continue on to the final act, ladies and gentlemen, the final fights. Dara Ben versus Kamala, Carol, and Monica. And as I have the thing right here in the background, here we go. Now, this by far was a very... and I hate to say this, a very CW Arrow fight with good graphics. And I respect that. CW, you know about CW Arrow fights. Very, very technical, mm-hmm. very jumpy and punchy and stuff, and little explosion here or there. No, this was the same thing with a lot more graphics. And I mm-hmm. did like the combinations of all three people. Like, they were kind of like, if there was a fourth person, it would have been like Ninja Turtles, where all four are a team together, working together seamlessly. And I did like that. But Dara Ben, who has no superpowers, the Negaband's purpose is to only open portals. It does not give you extra powers. It does not give you superhuman strength. She is a simple Kree person. So how the F are you going to withstand three freaking superheroes with three different light powers? That part pissed me off. And it lasted 5 minutes. I'm like, all right, man, come on. She has a hammer. Like, just come on, man. It's not even a small one. It's a big-ass hammer. In the end, Dara Ben, they tell her, don't use those Negabands. Don't do it. You're going to destroy your world. I can fix it. They realize that they can fix the planet by using Carol Danvers as an energy source. Just go inside the sun, light it up again, boom. She realizes it, Dara Ben. F you, and just does it anyway. And in the last seconds... oh, I opened it. Oh, I'm burning. Oh, no. And then she just disintegrates into nothing. Wow. What a great character arc.
Yeah, that was a very anticlimactic.
It was. It was very anticlimactic. Carol and Kamala, she puts both of them on and then power up Monica Rambeau to close out. Because if they don't close this jump point hole, everything collapses. Every universe, not every universe, but the universe around the world will collapse. They said that specifically. Not multiverses, but the universe. As Monica Rambeau goes inside the portal and closes it up, Carol is like, oh, shit, I got to save her. And you see her just, like, if it was like Iron Man going to the hole a la Avengers 1. And she's just going and going and going and going. And then at the last second, it's okay. It's okay. Monica's saying it's okay. I accept it. Thing closes. Carol again couldn't get found. World is saved. But we lost it. We lost a soldier. Cut to, oh, by the way, and I'll say this now because this wasn't really a great B story, but either matter. All the Flurrigans were hatched. The space station was going to get destroyed. So everyone got swallowed by the kittens, put inside the escape pod. That was kind of funny. That was like, and then
that was announcement, cool.
Please, that was cool. Like, please let the kittens absorb you. Don't run away. I'm like, okay, that's just, don't, I'm not going to fuck you. So, and then Asgardian like holds his nose and gets sucked in. So they get saved. They get the escape pod back to Earth. Later on, Monica and Carol are talking. Carol is like, I want to see if I can find her again. Monica and Kamala's like, let's do it together. The family is happy that Kamala's safe. Carol is happy that she's back home again, but she's going out again. And we cut to black. For the first post-credits scene, what was your thoughts on the movie before we get the post-credits? Right there. At the end, everybody's happy. Monica's somewhere in space. And Carol realizes, and not really acknowledging that she destroyed three freaking planets, numerous people, a civilization, messed up her princehood, and like, none of that. That doesn't matter. We're okay on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that?
All I thought was F them kids, you know, like, you know, yeah, like the memes. But no, but other than that, you know, it was, I guess that's them trying to, if you know what it felt like, you could feel, if you didn't know, and let me put it this way. If you knew there was no Hollywood strike or writer, and you came and then you come back from another planet and you saw that, and I would have told you, listen, there was a writer strike and there was a actor strike, you're like, oh, I could tell. And that's what that movie reflected. It reflected, yeah, like, you know, we had to get it done before the strike was coming, or let's wrap it up before, after the strike, whatever the case was. That's what that movie felt. It felt like they didn't really put a lot of time and effort, although we just finished saying about how different realities and storyline wise, but I'm talking about the ending to set up. It felt rushed. It felt like, you know, we have to get this. We have to make a deadline. You know, if not, we're going to lose millions of dollars with this movie. Which I think they did, by the way, in the box office.
They did. They lost 23 million subscribers from Elon Musk. They lost a whole bunch of money. We'll get to that later on in life.
Yeah, so that was the repercussion there. When it goes to the black there, we knew, because we just finished watching Loki, we knew there was more to come. You know, when that, even though that closes, doesn't mean they're gone.
That's true.
So that's why we were like, okay, what are we setting up for now? What part of this, not a sequel to the Marvels, but what TV series or Disney Plus series or what future movies or what phase are we setting up for? To me, when you want to, you watch this whole movie because you're waiting to find out the ending of what's next. And that's what happens a lot. And unfortunately, the Marvels got you there, you know, like, all right, I want to see what they're setting up for next. And then with all the dancing schmancing and all the you know, plots that didn't make sense, like, okay, let me, you know what, it's like when you want, like, you know what, just cut the cake. I just want to get, just cut the cake. Happy birthday. Yeah, cut the cake, let me eat the cake, and you know, let's get back to dancing. That's exactly what it felt like.
That's true. And that what sucks too, because first post credit, but my thoughts on this movie before we get to the post credits, this could have been a series. This could have been a series. This could have been a 6-episode series, 7-episode, maybe even 8 if you want to push it to expand more. But as a movie, very goofy, very stupid, very choreographed fight that, even though I know it's Marvel, you want to get it that way, it was very stupid. At my end, there are some funny points. Nick Fury shines like always because he's Nick Fury. Kamala, for me, Kamala was the highlight of the movie. And that's it. The family was only good for 3 minutes, and then after that, it was just like blah 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 blah. Like they got Disney by the balls. Like, no,
are you okay, Kamala? Kamala, you okay, Kamala?
We made money off this. Make up more, come on, more Kamala. I'm like, all right, that's enough. That's enough. I respect it. And Monica Rambeau going off into space, and Carol Danvers not really like accepting anything. I'm like, whatever. I guess it just. There's stakes that's going to happen in the next couple of movies, ladies and gentlemen, and this was not a good stepping stone to get to those stakes. Now, first post-credit scene was Kamala was enjoying this little team-up, so she snatched a saber holopad and started recruiting. First person she recruited, Kate Bishop, or female Hawkeye, you want to call her, and she was just sitting there and stuff like, what are you doing here? Like, oh, you know, giving the pizza, the dog pizza. and like, oh, you want to join the team? And that was the first post-credit scene. Now, before we get to the second one, what are your thoughts on the first post-credit scene and there's ramifications for this. So what are your thoughts on this one?
It remind me of when Avengers started, when Tony Stark walks in and starts recruiting for the young. It's, of course, setting up for the young Avenger. No spoiler there. But I loved it because the first one, which you didn't think about, was Hawk. Or it was the young Hawk girl. You know, of course, we saw her. We saw that Marvel series last year, Hawkeye, which I thought was really good. I really enjoyed it. And to see her there, I'm like, oh, okay, now it's a reset. All right, if you know, and maybe there, and of course, there probably is a new generation of Marvel moviegoers that are getting into it. Now they get like a reset in this later, and I appreciated that because the way she convinced her to join the team, and it was really cool. I was like, oh, okay, I'm stoked. I liked it. You know what? That was a dope one. I liked it. And now is it gonna show us how they're gonna recruit them in a TV series, or are we gonna do a movie? That was the only question I had. You know, that's the only question I had after that post screen.
I think, like, because again, Echo's coming out, so I think they're gonna pick up Echo. And there's no new live action shows coming out right now, and there's no new movies coming out right now as of time. Mm-hmm. So I guess Echo is the only one. Like after that, I'm guessing Echo's gonna be picked up, and then another one. The part that I want to say the ramifications is that, ladies and gentlemen, all these superheroes are going to die in the Avengers first movie. They're going to die. So I want you to remember that. They're going to fight Kang, Kamala, Bishop, Echo. One of them has superpowers. One of them can shoot an arrow. One of them has a leg against a Kang. I want to put that out there. They're not going to win this war. The second movie, yeah, sure. But I want to put that out there. That's what I like about this. Everyone's all happy-go-y. The first Avengers, people die. Dude, a lot of people died. In Infinity War, a lot of people died. So I want to put that out there. Second post-credits, as we see in the background, Monica Rambeau wakes up on a medical bed. Like, what the hell am I doing here? I was in space. I had clothes on. Who took my clothes off? That's very industry, whatever. And she sees a person next to her named her mom. Oh, you're my mom. Oh, stuff. Hey, what's going on, mom? Like, who the fuck? I ain't your mom. I ain't got knocked up. What the hell? I'm keeping it tight, you know?
Maria. Talking about.
Exactly. So as we're talking about this, we find out that someone in the background is talking. And when I heard this the first time, I'm like, that's motherfucking Kelsey Grammer. Wait a minute, what the fuck's Kelsey Grammer doing here? And as we see, he explains that by you doing that act, Monica Rambeau, you got transported, hypothetically, well, not hypothetically, but you got transported to another dimension. And now you're here. And her mom's like, I'm not your mom. My name is Binary, a person that was an X-Men. Famous X-Men character, actually. Not famous, but semi-famous. Mm-hmm. So it ends right there with Beast, Binary, and Monica Rambeau. And we don't know that if she's in the 838 universe. But we're just going to say we're going to call it the X-Men universe. So what are your thoughts on Monica being in the X-Men universe?
Right. At all the place that she jumps there with Binary, with seeing her mom there, that was a good setup because I didn't, you know... When I saw the medic and I saw how clean that was, I didn't say, could it be X-Men though? But I didn't remember her being called Binary. So yeah. I didn't remember. So until you said Kelsey Grammer comes out, they introduced the X-Men. So of course they've been teasing that. And now they finally arrived. What a good way of introducing them to the Marvel universe on that there. Cause she just happens to fall into whatever universe that is. Where the X-Men. Now we want to know more about this story. Forget about the recruitment of the young Avengers. Now I want to know about this story. I want to know, you know what? Scoop, put that aside because we know that young Avengers are going to eventually get together, you know, but I want to know how we're going to get this here. How she's going to get back. How is Monica Rambeau going to get back to her universe? Because here's the teaser. Yeah, I'm going to tell remember this. Scarlet Witch use her magic to go into different universe and time because she pulled Pietro, her brother, out of that maybe that universe into the WandaVision program. It was a brother, Peter, but she took the one from that universe. We don't know if it's that one. I'm assuming it's that Peter from that universe. So could a Maximoff bring Monica back into her reality, because we could tell, we know from the movie Doctor Strange she could go into multiverse as well,
yes,
and jump in. So now that's leaving more questions. You got questions now. You kind of see a path how could she try to go get Monica, feeling guilty that she causes that pain, or trying to do good after the Doctor Strange movie, wants to go back, yeah, on the justice side, try to help Kara bring Monica back. And maybe that's how we get introduced. That's just me hypothetically, okay, speculating on, yeah, how they could do that.
I think they're gonna bring it back from the Deadpool movie. Because it only makes sense. There's no other movie that connects to X-Men other than the Deadpool Wolverine movie. There's the cartoon coming out, X-Men 1997, but that's 1997. This is not 1997. This is 2025 X-Men, Kelsey Grammer, all that stuff. And I did like the notes of why they used Kelsey Grammer. In the X-Men comics, he was a scientist. He was the doctor. He was the guy to go to check out your stuff. Like, you didn't go to Cyclops or to Jean Grey or to Professor X. You went to Hank. You went to Hank McCoy to figure out chemicals and figure out stuff like that. So I respect that part. I think, a comment here coming out, a little comment. Thank you, agents. I think Binary Beast and Monica will reappear in Deadpool 3, which is the same universe as Wolverine from Deadpool. That's what I think as well. Thank you, Agent Super Argo. I think as well, because it makes sense. Deadpool and Wolverine doing an adventure. Monica's like, where the hell are you guys from? Like, I'm from here. Like, can you guys give me a ride back? And you give her a ride back. Because this is all going to connect to... This has to connect to Avengers Infinity War. Not Avengers Infinity War. Avengers Secret Kang Dynasty. You know.
Let me ask you this. What's up, Agent? Salute to our man, Agent Super Hargo. Let me ask you this. With knowing what's going on with the legal trouble with the actor, yes, with Kang,
yes,
Jonathan Majors, you think they're going to recast it? Because they talked about they were going to scrap the whole Kang himself, the character.
Put Doom. Yeah, I know.
What do you think they're going to go? What direction they're going to go there?
The news, and ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna like Final Act. That was a great show. Now we're going into theories of.
Yeah,
of
that's Marvel. Right. Let's. Yeah, I apologize for deviating you away from that, because we are.
No, it's okay. Quite right. This connects to everything, because again, this has to connect to everything. This connects to the Avengers, the Secret Wars, and all that stuff. Now, this came out yesterday of a rumor that they're still going with Jonathan Majors, and that the Beyonder is going to be a variant of Kang. Because again, the Beyonder could either be a variant of Kang or a variant of Doom. There's only two types. There's no third option. So I want to find out where they're pulling the trigger. I can't answer the question for you, Kev, because they themselves don't know what the hell they're going to do. They can go with Jonathan Majors. They still have all the footage. They still have all the likeness. They can CGI his ass and everything and not use him at all. They have all the audio of him anyway, so they don't really need him anymore legally. Now, to find a new actor, to prep him up, to put everything, all stock, into the new guy, that's something Marvel has to either take a step forward or take a step back and say, no, we can't do that. Because they just invested all their money into Jonathan Majors. It failed by legal standards. So you have a choice. You can do what you can do. Thank you. That's exactly what I heard, Coquito. That's what I heard too. So you can either do what Rogue One did and use General Tarkin's face and just use that. Okay. Or you're going to have to cut. Here we go. Boyega or Denzel Washington. Whoa. As Doom. Or as a see, that's the thing I like though. They can use a variant of Jonathan Majors and say that's Kang. Now they put themselves in the corner by making a Coliseum. Remember the end of Ant-Man where everybody was Kang, everybody was Jonathan Majors. Switch it up. The Beyonder was the one that was not, and he separated himself from that. That's why he looks different. That's why he could be the first Kang, and everyone else became like a lesser, the Beyonder, exactly.
What about a love child with the lady that got taken, yeah, that Renslayer, a love child. And then you could introduce a new agent that she feeds him Kang's knowledge, yes, and what not to, and shows him the future, and then he becomes a Beyonder. Then you could kind of.
You're right. You're right, because they didn't. The way they set up Renslayer at the end wasn't an ending; it was a continuation. They said it that like, oh, we ended it like this, because like, no. The way you ended Loki season two was, it was closed, but there were still chapters that were open ended, and the way that you specifically said that a TVA's purpose now is to track down Kangs, you can use that and say, all the Kangs were picked up by the TVA. Now there's this new version. Blah 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 blah. And work it out. You can, Loki set that up perfectly. What Marvel has to do now is pull the trigger. Stand with Jonathan Majors, at least his likeness, and work it to the end, or do Doom. Or you want to go so far left, everyone's been talking about Mephisto for 3-4 years. Bring in Mephisto.
God. Yeah, let's go.
That can connect to everything. The Madam Spider, that can connect to Spider-Man. And that also, oh my God, yes, there's another movie coming out. It's called Madam Spider. Oh God. Okay.
I have seen anything on that, and I'm curious.
It's made by Sony.
Oh, forget it.
Exactly. Anything made by Sony sucks.
Yeah. Hopefully they learn their lesson.
I hope so. But like I said, I hope. But final thoughts on this. Now, again, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about What If soon. And has a lot more depth than the Marvels right now in terms of time, space, and what's going to happen in the future. We'll talk about that when we get to that. Mm-hmm. But do you think, final thoughts on this, do you think there's going to be a Marvels 2? And if there is going to be a Marvels 2, who should be in it?
Here's a name that I thought, America Chavez. We saw America Chavez in the Doctor Strange. She could punch into different reality and space. If they find out, you know, Carol Danvers, you know, like, again, I was mentioning, remember I mentioned earlier about Scarlet Witch? If they still want to keep her kind of like a tweener or not totally face again, you know, as a heel, you know, bad person, I use a wrestling term, and they're contained or she's defeated or whatever the case, and they ask her about Monica, you know, you gave her those powers. You know, with your spell, is any chance you could whip a spell and get it? Goes, and maybe she says, I'm too weak. I don't have, you know, I don't dabble in that dark magic and stuff, but I know of a person who have punched through space and reality that jumped. And then that's when they bring America Chavez to try look for her to help, our heroes, the ladies, to try to go find Monica Rambeau, punching in and looking, jumping in from different universe, multiverse, looking for Monica Rambeau. I think that's a way you could go as well.
And that can also connect to What If season two. That can connect to, because again, we're not done yet, ladies and gentlemen. We're at episode six. Episode six for me was by far the best episode ever, because it explained a lot of history that people tend to forget. But we'll get to that later. We'll get to that soon when it gets to there. The Marvel Zombie, the Marvel Zombie show is supposed to come soon. Yeah. 1997 X-Men is supposed to come soon. Echo is supposed to come soon in a couple months. She-Hulk 2 is coming out, whatever. Freaking this, the Blade movie is coming out in a couple months too, like a few months. Like everything's all lining up, and I like that. But I want to thank you, Mr. Kevin, for giving me the time and the pleasure and the honor to talk about the Marvels, even though, and you know what, let's grade this shit, because I want to be fair. One out of five. Let's go.
I'll give it a 3 because of all the different spaghettis of stuff in there.
Oh, that's a good point. Before we go, what movie will Vision show up in? White Vision is still,
I know,
somewhere on Earth.
I don't know, because I'm hoping he'll show up maybe to help. If they make a, you know, something to do with Kang, maybe. With his intelligence. I don't know. He's like a Halley's Comet, because we're wondering when is White Vision showing up. I really don't know. I'm like, where is he? What's he gonna do? What's the purpose of White Vision? I really don't know.
That's the thing, though. Yeah, because then you think about it, because he is looking for purpose. That's his purpose now. He's looking for purpose. He doesn't know where to go. He doesn't trust the government. He's not going to trust Nick Fury. Scarlet Witch is gone in that world. Mm-hmm. And there's no one to talk to him. So, but he has to be connected to... This is the part that I get pissed off. If they never use him in the next 3 years, That is by far the most dumbest thing ever. Because again, he's part of the West Coast Avengers. You can make West Coast Avengers.
Yes, you can.
And work that out. That's all you got to do. And Alex, you know what? Even better. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Even better said is Echo fights Kingpin in the series. Right? I'm spoiling. I'm not even spoiling. I'm guessing here. Echo fights Kingpin in the series. She has to leave New York because it's too dangerous. She goes to California.
West Coast. Boom.
West Coast Avengers. Right off the bat.
Yeah. I was going to ask, what is White Vision's powers? Can he travel multi-dimensions?
He has the same powers as Vision, except he doesn't have a soul. That's the only thing. He has the same powers as Vision, except he doesn't have a soul. He's all logic. He has the memories of Vision, but not the heart and the emotion behind it. So therefore, he's just he's like an MP3 player watching videos. There's nothing, there's no emotion behind it. Just watching it. And that's thing. And here's a good point by Agents. He will definitely have to show up in Avengers movie because it's supposed to be loaded with characters, but he should show up before that. He should show up when Blade somewhere in freaking Russia, Latveria, and out of nowhere, he sees Vision on top of a mountain. Vision can be in Scarlet Witch's hometown, just living there, because that's the only thing he remembers. What's left of it, because that place is destroyed.
Right.
Sokovia is destroyed, but he's just there. That's it.
What if Vision is part of? Is the Marvel Zombies going to be animated, or is it going to be
animated,
a zombie?
Animated. Oh no, they can't be. But he can be part of the Midnight Suns with Blade and Ghost Rider. Yeah,
show up with Moon. I mean, it's a lot of different varios there. Also, this is a whole left field. What's up with the Eternals? I mean, they left us with the hell of a Excalibur there, and Blade came out in that. That's where you could pop up a Vision, because remember, he could go up against these vampires or these monsters because he's soulless. He's not gonna get if he gets attacked or killed, he's not going to. Turn you know into a vampire.
You know what's ironic? Punisher's in the Midnight Suns too.
Oh man, I don't know.
It makes sense. That fool ain't got no soul. He does the mission, so that's why I said Vision's perfect. It's just a group of people that really they have souls, but they're just Ghost Rider, Blade, Werewolf by Night, Punisher, Vision, Man Thing, like Swamp, six heavy hitters right there, and that's all you need.
Yeah, you're right. Man Thing, there you go.
Thank you, Agent. Like, even though, like, I saw the picture, like, it seems weird when you see Punisher in the picture where, like,
it makes sense. It kind of weirdly does.
So, you know.
With all that your heavy artillery, go kill some monsters.
Yeah, go have fun. But that was, ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Marvels. We'll talk about that later on. I want to thank you, Mr. Kevin, for passing by and giving me the honor and privilege. Soon enough, we'll say soon, we might be jumping in on... Actually, we might be jumping in on What If next, because, again, I've been watching... I've already done the first six, so I'll tell everyone down below, and I'll tell you as well when we can do it. Possibly, most likely tomorrow, we might be doing, if it's okay with you, episode 1 to 3. Because, again, I got all the parts right out going out here. I want to give a shout-out to our favorite fans, Agent Super Argo. I want to thank you. Gracias. If you're subscribed, you are. Thank you. If not, I appreciate you nonetheless. Stay healthy. Stay happy, and remember that Cookie Underground is about having fun, talking about things, being honest, and just shooting the shit. Because honestly, if we're not being honest, then hell, here we go. I missed it, guys. I'll catch you in the next one. Of course, man. We haven't done the freaking What If yet. We'll do it soon. I got you, man. Stay healthy. Stay happy. I find the thing I'm trying to stall here. Here we go. And good night.
There you go.
You made a mistake coming here. Release Superman. Why you still can. You do not know the power of the dark side.